We're in the midst of this incredible graphic book of Hosea, where the Lord does something amazing in calling this prophet to take a wife who is going to be unfaithful. He has told him that. Unfaithful not just to God, but to her husband. And he says, go, for this is a powerful, powerful picture of the unfaithfulness of my people to me and the faithfulness of me to my people. This morning, we're going to be in chapter 4. So if you would please stand for the reading of God's word, Hosea chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Hosea 4:1. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, and even the fish of the sea are taken away. Yet let no one contend, and let none accuse, for with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day, the prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me, and I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people. They are greedy for their iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priests. I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They shall eat but not be satisfied. They shall play the whore but not multiply, because they have forsaken the Lord to cherish whoredom, wine and new wine, which take away the understanding. My people inquire of a piece of wood, and their walking staff gives them oracles. For a spirit of whoredom has led them astray, and they have left their God to play the whore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Father in heaven, we ask that you would bless our time of the preached word, that we would be encouraged to see the warning that is before us, that we would be quick to repent as we've already confessed our sin and need you. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see and bless every person who's here, that we might understand more fully the need that we have for you, Jesus, our Savior, and the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hosea is a graphic book, and it's powerful that we are in this book, even as we come to a time where these brothers are going to receive a charge. The charge I give you this morning, again, isn't just for them, it's for all of us. And it has to do with feeding. Feeding. Three things I'm going to say about feeding. To the brothers and then to all of us, the first is this. Feed on the word of God. Look with me again at verse 1. The Lord is giving Hosea the message. And the first thing that the Lord says in Hosea 4:1 is, hear the word of the Lord. One of the great themes of Hosea, and you'll see it even in this chapter and throughout the book, is that the people have no knowledge of God. It doesn't mean that they don't know of God, but it's that they don't know God. They have not acknowledged him as God. They have been unfaithful. So for those who are called to lead and for all of the people of Christ, the message is feed on the word of God. I want you to listen to the psalmist as he describes the significance of the word of God in his life. I'm going to read from Psalm 119, 97. If you want, you can turn or you can just listen. Listen to how the psalmist describes his feeding on the word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. Now listen to this as it relates to feeding. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Do you see and hear and even taste the love he has for God's word? A little further into Psalm 119, we have this great picture where the psalmist says, I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Brothers, you need to feed on the word of God. But what does that mean? In our second identity statement as a church, it begins with we long to worship God together. But the second one says that we as God's people long to know and live the word of God. As leaders in this church, you can't simply know about God's word. You must know and live the word of God. In fact, if you're not living the word, you don't know it. Living obediently is a sign that the word, Jesus, is in us, that we are abiding in him. And as an outflow of that love, his to us, ours to him, we show it in an obedient life. Many people know of the word of God, including our great enemy, Satan. But God's people are to know and live it. And that's what is missing here with the people of Israel in Hosea. In Jesus' sermon in Matthew chapter 7, he preaches. We know it as the Sermon on the Mount. And as he finishes his sermon, the conclusion, he says this: Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell and great was the fall of it. And that which is true for a man building a house is true of a church. Men being called to lead the church. Churches all over this city, all over this country, all over our world are built on sand. They're not the true church. Men have stopped feeding on the word and they begin to feed something else. And when the wind and the rain and the storms come, and in the end, the ultimate judgment of God, they will be seen for what they really are, on no foundation at all, crumbling. Men, we must feed on the word of God. Jesus, the rock, is our foundation now and always. In many cases, when we say that we know the word but don't live it, we are living absurd lives. And so many people who exit places that look like churches and say they're churches walk out into an absurd world with an absurd life. But do you know what the word absurd actually means? Immediately, you probably think of a statement like, well, that's absurd, foolish. But what does it really mean? Listen to this, I think, very profound definition from the American Heritage Dictionary. Two definitions. Listen. Absurd means of or relating to or manifesting the view that there is no order or value in. What are you going to say? What do you think he says? There is no order or value in human life or in the universe. This is a secular dictionary. The second definition goes this way. Absurdity is the condition or state in which humans exist in a meaningless, irrational universe where people's lives have no purpose or meaning. If you and I hear God's word and don't live it, we are living absurd lives. It doesn't matter whether you're a charter member of this church or a new member of this church. If you walk through the doors of this sanctuary Sunday after Sunday, comfortable that you're in a conservative church, and you hear the word and you nod him into the truth, but you walk out with no real desire to change, no real desire to say, God, change me. I can only change by your grace. Then you are living an absurd life. Ultimately, meaningless, foolish, confusing, absurd. The word absurd actually comes from the Latin word certus. And you know what it means? Deaf. Out of tune. The word obedient comes from the Latin word audire, which means listening. The only way we can keep from living absurd lives is to hear the word of God. And the only way we can hear the word of God is by the power of His Spirit moving through us, opening our ears to hear, enabling us to hear, and then enabling us to act and to live a life that is not on a shallow foundation. So brothers, all of us, feed on the word. Hear the word of the Lord. The second charge also has to do with feeding, and it comes straight from this passage and from John. Feed the sheep the word. Feed the sheep, God's people, the word. What was it that Jesus said to Peter as Jesus puts together this fire on the shoreline? Peter, from a distance, recognizes who it is, knowing that not long before he had said, "I don't even know the man." He jumps out of the boat and he swims towards Christ, his friend, his guide, the one we've been singing about. And what does he hear Jesus say? Three questions and three commandments. "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs." But feed them what? What Peter thinks is important? Only if it's the word of God. Feed them the word of God. Feed them me, the Savior of the world. What happens if people aren't fed the word of God by their leaders? Well, this passage in Hosea tells us. Look with me back at verse 4 of chapter 4 of Hosea. The prophet says, "Yet let no one contend and let none accuse, for with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day. The prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother." Listen to verse 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from bringing a priest to me." The priest had rejected feeding the people the word of God. They themselves said, "Stop being fed by the word." And the natural relationship then is that they would stop feeding the people the word of God. And the Lord there says, "This is what has destroyed my people." And it's a condition that continues. You see it in the second part of verse 1. The prophet says, "There is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land." No faithfulness connecting to the greatest relationship we know on earth, man to woman, faithful to one another. I did a wedding here last night. The vows being made between this young couple that they would remain faithful only to another. Well, the people of Israel have lost their faithfulness. They have betrayed the Lord, the one who is ultimately faithful. And he goes on to say, and they've lost their love, which means their devotion to the one who is faithful. And as I've already been saying, he says that they have lost the knowledge of God. That's what happens. Listen as I read a very familiar passage from Romans chapter 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God," they know something of God, "is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because," listen, "they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is forever blessed. Amen. And they go down this journey, people, because of the neglect of the feeding of God's word. And so even in our country, even this weekend, even as news breaks of bills being signed and certain things being put into action, you see God simply letting, giving them up to the lust, allowing them to move in a direction that is completely opposite of what his word says. And sadly, you can see those who call themselves priests even ordaining the actions of a world which is rebelling against God. A failure to feed them the word. And the destruction is great, even this side of heaven, but ultimately separated from God forever. Which leads to the third thing. We must feed on God's word. We must feed the sheep God's word. And if we don't, listen to what will happen. A failure to feed the word will lead to a feeding on people's sin. A failure to feed the word of God will lead to a feeding on people's sin. Back to Hosea chapter 4, verse 8. They feed on the sin of my people. They are greedy for their iniquity. What a sick verse. Speaking of the priests, they feed on the iniquity of my people. They're greedy for their iniquity. Isn't that graphic? What has happened? If we take this verse literally, it means that because the people are sinning greater and greater sins in number, they're bringing more and more sacrifices, which means that the priests have more to eat as the sacrifices are given. If we simply take it figuratively, it means that the priests are delighting in the people's sin. How can we, as leaders in this church, delight in feeding on people's sin? How can we be greedy for the iniquity of others? Three quick ways. First is this. It's when we delight in depravity more than rejoice in rescue. When we delight in depravity, it means that we sometimes become excited about the ridiculous, absurd stories of people's lives before Christ, more than we celebrate the rescue that has taken place. It can happen. Churches can be known for something other than the gospel, simply as people who are comfortable with sin begin to fill their pews. We must never delight in depravity. We must never celebrate what one's life was like before Christ and all of its horror. But we should rejoice in the rescue. Sometimes the testimony can be so amazing that the temptation is to be more excited to talk about who the person was than the one who's rescued them out of that. We must rejoice in the rescue and never delight in the depravity. A second way in which we can feast on people's sin, their iniquity, is when we fail to tell them the truth about their sin. I want you to be careful here, brothers. It's easy to point out certain sins that we all are uncomfortable with. It is so easy to tell the truth about certain things that we know clearly to be sin. But there are other things besides those very public sins that may be the thing that's destroying the sheep that you're called to lead. And it may not look as bad. It could be greed, materialism, comfort, cowardice. It could be so many things that as Christians in a community like ours, we simply have said aren't that big a deal compared to others. And there we could feed upon our people's sin instead of say, brother, sister, you are building a kingdom unto yourself. And if you continue to build this kingdom unto yourself, do you know what Jesus said in Luke 9? He who seeks to save his life will lose it. He who seeks to give his life away, to lose his life for my sake, will find it. Here's the message of truth that we might We must bring. Anybody who's seeking to build their life outside of Christ must hear from the leaders of this church. You are losing, not winning. You are dying, not living. You are killing, not saving, even your own children. And that message needs to come in truth to people who may really have no idea that the world is bound up in building a kingdom unto themselves. And so if we don't feed on the word and take it all seriously, if we don't feed the word, we can feed on their sin by simply letting it happen. Too uncomfortable to confront the sins of our generation. A third way in which we might feed on our people's iniquity is when we point them to ourselves instead of a Savior. What do I mean by that? You've heard the phrase Messiah complex, where people sometimes feel the need to be needed. And I promise you, in churches all across the city, around the world, there are pastors and preachers and elders and leaders who love to be needed by their people. And so often, instead of telling them the truth that there is only one way out, there's only one way to heaven, there's only one truth, they begin to give them a different gospel. It might even sound good and helpful, and it might even be a little helpful. But we must never neglect to tell them that there is only one way, only one truth, and His name is Jesus. If we neglect to do that, then we are inviting people to trust in us, or in this body, and not ultimately in the Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the one priest, the one who went to the tree, the one who died that we might have life, who can, who's able to save all. Sunday after Sunday is a feast. It's a bit of an appetizer of what one day we will know fully. And until that time comes, brothers who are called to lead this body, you have one head. His name is Jesus. Feed on Him. Feed Him to the sheep. For a failure to do so is what leads God's people to destruction. Never forget what He has said. If you do, you will be an absurd leader, leading people to absurdity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Your word is powerful. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. Even in the last several minutes, it's been, by Your Spirit's power, able to penetrate to the depths of our soul and change us. Would You, Father, be honored by all that we are about to do as we lay hands on these brothers, recognizing the call in their life, and at this point in their life, the beauty of obedience, saying, "Here I am, Lord, I will go." Modeling the one who did that perfectly, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.